Looks like it's going. Minimize that, bring up the lesson. Before I start, let me say thank you again for asking me to speak, for having the trust that I will speak the words of God, that I will speak the truth. I'll do my very best to do that. I always like to say thank you and like to give you that reassurance that that's what I'm going to try to do up here. If you find anything that I say that's not what you think is the Word of God, please bring it to my attention. You'd be my friend to do that. That's what I want. I want to speak the words of God. And that's what I hope to do is this morning, to encourage you with those words of God. The church in Sierra Vista, many of the number is here today, but they send their greetings to you. Everybody says hello, but many of them are here today. The churches in Africa, every time I get correspondence from them, they say to tell all the churches here hello. So hello from the churches in Africa. The topic of the morning is, how can I see further? Imagine if I was here on this lot, and I'd never been over to Wyoming Boulevard, and I couldn't go there right now for whatever reason. It was cordoned off by some sort of accident or something, whatever it may be. How would I be able to see over there? Well, I could talk to somebody that's been over there before and say, well, what is over there? What's on that street? What building's over there? What businesses are there? I could climb up on the roof of the building and try to get a good look over there, try to look further. I could do things like that. In the same way, in our spiritual lives, in ideology, in discerning life's problems, how can we see further? We can ask other people that have been there. We can climb up on their shoulders, so to speak. As Isaac Newton, in way back about 400 years ago, almost 300 or 400 years ago, said, if I've seen further, it is by standing on the shoulders of giants. He was, you've probably heard the name before, Isaac Newton. He's the guy that had the apple fall out of the apple tree and said, you know, there's probably a gravity force that's working on that, and I bet, according to God's laws, Isaac Newton was a very religious man. He studied the Bible very, very strenuously. He actually wrote more about religious matters and about the Bible than he did about scientific matters, which he's recognized as one of the greatest scientific minds in history. But he went and he found the whole principles of how gravity works and the laws. He divined them by figuring them out through calculus and found it all out. So when someone come to him and they said, you know, how did you figure this out? He said, if I've seen further, it's by standing on the shoulders of giants. And he didn't literally mean he was, you know, had a giant walk up and he jumped up on his shoulder and said, well, now I can see that apple falling better. He meant I've stood on the experience and the knowledge of those who came before me. I was talking to somebody the last couple of days saying that, you know, I think it was Chad saying, I really think that as the years go, we're getting dumber and dumber, actually. You know, that we really are not as smart as Adam and Eve or anybody else that came hundreds or thousands of years before us, because, you know, the laws of thermodynamics say that any ordered event is gradually going to get more and more chaotic. It's going to come apart at the seams. If you drive a car for very long, you can see that in principle and in action very easily. You know, you leave a car alone, it's not going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse. It's going to, until one day it just quits working. And the same way, I think we, our genetic code and all the different things that have gone wrong over the years, we're generally getting a little bit not quite as bright. But we have the advantage. Even though I might not be as smart as my great-great-great-great-granddaddy, I can lean on his knowledge and his experience and their experience and the accumulated knowledge of the years. Adam and Eve may not have had cell phones, but they also didn't have thousands of years of people building little things and adding up to what we've got now. I'm sure if Adam and Eve would have gone to college, they would have picked it up a lot quicker than I did. I had to study a lot. They'd probably said, oh yeah, see how that works? That's pretty good there. And it took me a lot of study to come across a lot of these things. The saying was also attributed to a guy named Bernard by John Salisbury. He said, Bernard Chartres used to compare us to dwarfs perched on the shoulders of giants. He pointed out that we see more and farther than our predecessors, not because we have keener vision or greater height, but because we are lifted up and borne aloft on their gigantic stature. So that's what we need to, all of us, do. is use that knowledge that we have all around us from those who have experience, those who have knowledge that we haven't gleaned yet, that we haven't had the opportunity to get yet. And it's not because we're smarter. It's because we can use the experience, the knowledge they have. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." The Bible tells us many, many places that we are to seek counsel, seek godly counsel, seek wise counsel, to look for others that will give us their knowledge. And it says that in the abundance of counselors there is wisdom, and we are to look for that. It's needed by young and old. I'm not just preaching this lesson this morning to those who are young. It's needed by all of us. Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no longer be admonished." Admonished means corrected. You're saying, hey, this is not the right way. This is the right way. That's admonishment. We need to, whether we're old or young, seek the advice of those around us. And it doesn't always have to be a looking down in age thing. I certainly learn things from my kids. There's many times when I can look on things that people that are younger or less experienced than I am and learn a lot from what they have done. Proverbs 19, verse 20 and 21, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." Be wise in the latter end. You know, if you read backwards in this, you can see we're probably not so wise in the former end. I know in myself, I look back on my years, and I turned 50 in February. And as I get a little bit older and a little bit older, I start thinking, you know, I really wasn't that smart when I was younger. I really should have paid more attention to what somebody told me about not to do this or to do that or to stay away from this. But that's the way we all start out. We all start out as babes. We all start out as little kids, and we learn. And one of the best ways to learn is to learn through others' mistakes. It's one of the hardest things to do because it's human nature, I guess. We want to learn. We want to try it ourselves and see. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, there are some things we don't need to learn by our own experience. There are some things that are so painful, so destructive, that you've got to take advice from other people. If you don't, it's going to lend to our own destruction. You've got to listen. We've got to listen to those who have had those experiences so that we may be wiser in the latter end. So how do we become wise? There are many. I went through the scriptures and I tried to find those things that we are to turn to. This is the top of the list. The word of the Lord. The law of the Lord. Psalms 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Proverbs and Psalms, all the way through them, there's so many references to the law of God, the word of God, the precepts of God. There's so many synonyms they use throughout there, I can't remember them all. They tell us that the word of God is our rock. It is our foundation. It's what we can most rely on for truth, for guidance, for direction. And in all these things, we must always turn to the law of the Lord, to the word of the Lord. The word, we're told, is living and active and powerful. It's not something that we can look at once. I've heard this a couple times this weekend. It's something, not something we look at once and say, "Oh, yep, I've got that," and we never have to think about it again. It's every time we look through the word of God, it's new. It's living. It changes to us. I don't know how many people have had that same experience. I've had that experience many times where I go and read the Bible and I read back over something. I'm like, I didn't notice that before. And you look at it and, yeah, that's what it says. I sure don't remember it saying that. And I know I've read that scripture probably 20 times, but I don't remember it saying, those words right there, that really means something to me now. Something that really hits home to me on that is all the references in scriptures to sailing. Until this last little while when we went on that big trip, you know, I'd heard them and I kind of thought, you know, those are cool sayings, you know, about having your anchor hold fast. But until you're out there and you experience, you know, the wind blowing and you're trying to go to sleep at night and you have a boat that's, you know, could blow out on the rocks or blow into some other person's, you know, million-dollar boat or something, you don't appreciate, you know, how much you appreciate a good, secure anchor. And the scriptures tell us very clearly that God's word is our anchor. And we need to make sure that we have good connection to that anchor. Great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court in the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty things. You know, I think those great men that we read about, that we consider great men of science, great men of theology, whatever it may be, whatever topic, that were men of God as well, I think they probably looked at this verse and they said, you know, I'm going to take that and I'm going to trust that. I'm going to pray to God and ask Him for wisdom. You guys ever read in the Old Testament when they were first building the temple? Many of the people there, God said, I'm going to give this person knowledge. I'm going to give this person skill so that they can do these great, wonderful creations for the temple or for whatever it was they were building. I think we can still do that today. God's told us that here and in other places that all we have to do is ask and He'll give us. Before there was Google, I left my phone back there, before there was Siri or Cortana or any of those things where you can just pick up a phone and say, you know, what's the answer to this question? There was God. And bigger and better than Cortana or Google or any of those things, God's got the answer for all this stuff. Better than any of those things. All we have to do is ask, He says. Great and mighty things, which we don't know. You know, sometimes maybe we just need to pray for, you know, God, show me what I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. I know some things I definitely know I don't know. But there's a lot of things I don't even have a clue about, like that I don't even know. And sometimes maybe we just need to ask God, God, open my eyes so that I can see those things that I'm just blind to. James 1, verse 5 says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now there's kind of two topics in these last few verses, and this verse and the next one, I believe. There's the Word of God, and then there's asking God. Now the Word of God, Jesus Christ is known as the Word of God, but the Word of God is also the Scriptures that we have. The Bible, the very Word of God, we're told in its letters and in the scriptures there, it tells us it's the Word of God, and it is very well proven. That Chad went through a study the other night with the young kids that, you know, told us how, you know, many of the scholarly works that have been passed down through the generations, you know, they've got maybe a copy that's goes back to within 500 years of when it was first written, and they've got maybe a half a dozen copies of it, and it was written by one person, and they said, well, yeah, we take that to be true. That's what he wrote. The Bible has thousands of copies within less than 100 years of when the very original words were laid down. Thousands of copies written by people all over the place, all over the world, or all over the ancient world. And they all are 99.5% or more. It's, you know, it's within that much of each other. Only differences is maybe a couple periods or things. So we need to take God's word and give it the credence that we give these other works. These other works, you know, the works of Aristotle or Plato or whoever it may be. You know, we don't doubt that that's what they wrote and that's what they said. We need to not doubt God's word. And not only that, trust in God's Word and read the Bible, but also pray about it. For God has given us His Spirit. If we are His children, we follow Him, we obey Him, He's given us His Spirit so that we can, He can allow us to utter things that we don't even know how to say. The Spirit knows how to translate for us, for God, the things that we can't even explain what we want. The Spirit of God, we need to pray and ask for those things. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And this verse reinforces what I was just saying. Not only do we have the Word of God, which we absolutely must know, we must go and study it and read it and reread it. Studying is not just going over it once and saying, I've read that, I've got it. As I said before, it's going over and... I don't know about you guys, when I was in college or when I was in school, and I've told my kids, Levi, he took his learner's permit. I hope he won't mind me telling this. It took him 3 times to pass the test. I told him when he very first started, he said, I know the laws of the road. I've been watching them, and I know that I can pass this test. I said, you better read that book. If you read it once, you might pass it. If you read it twice, you'll probably pass. If you read it 3 times all the way through, you'll pass that test without even thinking about it. You'll just go down through and say, I know this, And the first time, he didn't read it at all. He just kind of scanned through it a little and said, I think I know this stuff. And he failed it. He missed it by one question. He said he wanted me to point that out. The second time, he missed it again. They've got some trick questions on there. The third time, he passed it. But in the same way, we need to be looking and re-looking at God's Word, making sure we didn't miss something, making sure there's not something in there that our eyes have been blinded to, or our own desires have been blinded to. But all these things can be freely given to us, is what it says here, through the Spirit of God. All we've got to do is pray and ask for it, and follow and obey and follow through. Colossians 1, verse 9 and 10 says, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're to pray for these things. Pray and ask for them. Do you ever pray and, if you're in school, do you ever pray and say, God, just help me understand this stuff. Help me remember it for the test. You ever on a job and just can't figure something out? Can't figure out how to make it work, how to get this part to fit, or how to... That's God gives skill. God gives understanding. God gives knowledge. All we have to do is ask and trust and believe that He's going to give it to us. That's what the Bible says. I believe it's true. The next one I saw was that we are to teach each other. Romans 15, verse 14 says, And I myself am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Admonish is to teach. To teach one another. We are to look at each other and ask each other and talk to each other. I know if I had to figure out everything for myself, half stuff I'd give up on. If I had somebody there with me, it makes it so much easier. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're doing a math problem, if you're working on a car, if you're doing the dishes, if you've got somebody there with you, how much easier, not just because of the division of labor and being able to have more hands working, or 4 hands instead of 2, but just because it's, you learn from each other, you help each other out. Remember, the word synergy means the proper definition, I guess, is the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the individual parts apart. It means if all of you and I are working on 2 cars and we're working just both of us apart from each other, it's going to be slower and not as good as if we both say, okay, let's work on your car and then let's work on my car. It's going to go better. It's going to go faster. Not only and the same amount of people working and the same amount of cars, but it's just going to go better. When we have more than if we have more than just ourselves, if we look to each other and help each other, and not just in cars, not just in math, in all these things, in spiritual matters, in friendships, and advice on life, whatever it may be, it's another way that I've saw that in the Bible, the Scripture in particular and others like it, that tell us that we are to seek counsel from each other, that we are full of goodness and knowledge and able to teach one another. I heard some time ago there was a saying that advice is a nostalgic form of nostalgia, where you take the lessons from the past and you dust them off and you get more out of them than what they were worth to begin with. Not a nostalgic form of what's the word, when recycling, where you dust off the mistakes of the past and you share them with somebody else and get more value out of it than what it was to begin with. That's advice. Your father and mother, Proverbs 6, verse 20 through 22. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually on thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. When you awake, it'll talk with you. You ever wake up in the morning and hear your mom's voice in the back of your head saying, hey, get up out of the bed, get to work, or you get to hear the voice in your mom's bed in the back of your head, hey, you should be doing this, or you shouldn't be doing that, or early in the morning, early rise, whatever it was your mom used to tell you. Well, the last one and this one are very good things, and we need to admonishing one another and taking the instruction of our parents. We need to have respect for each other. We need to have respect for parents. But I'll go on here in a few minutes to show that and to discuss a little bit that sometimes we're not all perfect. We don't all give the best advice. There's ways to respectfully ask for people's advice without necessarily taking it as the Word of God. You know, we need to weigh it against the Word of God. But when it comes to your father and mother, when I was growing up, he was very reserved in his guidance to me. He was always willing and able to give me advice on things. But many times I'd ask him something and say, well, I don't know about if I do that way, or something like that. You know, something kind of non-commanding, like, no, don't do it that way, or something like that. When I say kids, I mean everybody that's got a parent that's still living they can talk to. The best way you can make your mom or dad's life, or make their day, is just go to them and say, I've got this problem. What do you advise? What can you tell me to make this, to help? What experience do you have in this? That will make your parents just glow and make their day, and it'll just tickle them to death if you just go to them and then sit and listen to what they have to say. So we have to do that. We have to lean on the advice of our parents. And not only parents, but also many of those that are older than us. Many times they've been through all these things, and a lot of times when they smile and nod, they're really, and you've asked them, you know, what their idea, they're really inside. They're jumping up and down, just tickled to death that you're asking, you know, what their opinion is on this and what their experience was. But outside, they look like this calm, cool, serene. Yeah, I think I'd be careful doing that, son. You know, what they really want is for you to make your own decisions, to do the right things. And they want you to come to them and ask them, but they don't want to make the decision for you. Am I right, parents? They want to do it and to ask for their advice, but then to not just be a robot and do it, but to think through it and say, yeah, you're right, Mom. You're right, Dad. You're right, whoever it is that's giving me this advice. I need to. Or consider and weigh those things. So I don't want to underestimate, I don't want us to ever underestimate the great resource we have in our parents. If your parents, if you're an older person and your parents are still alive, I tell you, milk that cow for all it's worth while you still got them, because they're not going to be there forever. I don't know, that's a good language to use here. Your parents are not going to be here forever. Take advantage of it while you've got them. I'm thankful I've still got my parents, and I try to ask them whenever I'm there on something or another. Choose your advisors wisely. This is the thing where I was getting at. Not always is the advice that we get from human beings perfect, because human beings are not perfect. Whether it's parents, whether it's other brothers and sisters in Christ, whether it's somebody else in the world, we can get good and we get good bad advice from all sorts of people. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Try the spirits whether they are of God. That's our answer right there. We ask their advice, even if we already know what the Bible says, we're assured, we've read it, we know what God's Word is, sometimes it's good just to get a second perspective on it that we just haven't thought about. Go and say, "Mom, Dad, or my brother, or my sister, whoever it is, my friend, what's your thoughts about this?" Even though I may already think I know what the right thing is. And if they confirm, "Yep, this is what God said, this is what the Bible says, or this is my experience about what it should be," you know, that's what they're doing. They're dusting off that bad experience or that good experience they had, and they're recycling it for more than it was worth to begin with. And they're telling you, "Reuse this. This is exactly what the Bible told me, and I did this or I didn't do this, and this is the bad thing that happened to me, or this is the good thing that happened to me." And it just reinforces what conclusions you've come to, or it may make you open your eyes and say, "Oh, I didn't think about that. I need to do that." 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4 says the same thing, kind of. "For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables." And a lot of times we use this to describe the world in general and how the world is going. Going to the dogs, going however you want. Nobody has any wisdom anymore. They all want to hear something new made up. They don't want to hear the old truths that hold true over all these years. And I think another thing it says here that we may not have sunk in sometimes is they're all over the place. They're heaped together in piles, heaps. You know what a heap is? It's a big pile of something. There's teachers, false teachers, people that will give you bad advice everywhere. They're all over the place. So we've got to be careful who we make as our advisors. I mean, ask for advice. Look around with those that you see that have that peace that passes understanding, that live in the joy of Christ and the joy of God. Those that have not necessarily, they're not perfect. They've had their struggles. They've had their times when they've made bad decisions. Look to them that have made it through those things and have come through, and now you can see that they've got this wisdom in this particular topic, whatever it may be. Look for those. Don't look for the one that's never been there. Don't look for the ones that are saying this is the way it is just because, you know, that's what everybody wants to hear. Look for those that are willing to say, "This is what happened to me. This was bad, or this was good," or whatever it was. One of the last things I want to say is that each one of us can be an example. If you're sitting here this morning, or you're listening to my voice on a recording or whatever, take your finger and point it right back here, right like that. Point at yourself. I can be a teacher. You can be a teacher. You can give advice. Be an example. 1 Timothy 4:2, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He was a young man. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example to the believers, or of the believers, in word and conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Each and every one of us whether we want to or not, whether we think we are or not, we're an example to somebody. Somebody is noticing what we do. Somebody at work, somebody at school, somebody in our family. Somebody looks at us and says, I just see how they did it. That was good. Or, they got away with that. I can get away with it too. We need to make sure we're setting that good example, not a bad example. And when somebody does grace us with the opportunity to come to us and say, what's your ideas on this? I mean, sometimes you have to say, I don't know. I never had that experience. But if you have had the experience, or if you know you've read from the Word of God, take the time. Talk to them like a real person. Don't talk to them like a recording. Talk to them and tell them, this is what I've seen. This is what I've seen the Bible says. This is what I've seen in people's lives. This is what I saw, in whoever else. This is what I've seen in my life. Be an example and take those opportunities to teach others around you. Because as Paul said back here, way back here, where'd it go? Admonish. I am persuaded that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish one another. Go about and be doing it. So, we can receive counsel from God's Word. That's the top of the list. From the Spirit through prayer. From each other. From our elders and parents, those that have had more experience than we have in these areas. And we must choose our counselors wisely, because there are so many out there that are willing to give you advice that is worth about as much as, sometimes it's not worth much. And we see further, if I see what's over in Wyoming and I see there's some danger there, I need to warn others, I need to tell others. If I see something that's good over there, I need to tell them about it. If I climbed up on the roof or I stood on the shoulders of giants and I saw further because of that, I need to share that with other people. I need to be an example and show that not only in my own life, but our actions speak much louder than our words. So set the good example. And if you ever are blessed with somebody coming to you and saying, what do you think about this? Take the time to give it to them. Give it to them straight. Give it to them the truth. So that's the end of the lesson. I know there's probably a song prepared. The best advice you could probably take from anybody is to turn to God. The Bible, God's Word would tell you that. The Spirit through the prayer would tell you that. In a lot of the New Testament conversions, when they first had this turning experience, the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, when they first had the experience, what did they do? Said, whoop, I'm saved now, woo, I'm done. No, they prayed. And God answered them and said, go and find this person. They'll tell you what you need to do. Once again, that's it. Go into someone and they teach. They tell about how to do it. If we go to our brothers and sisters here, they would tell you, be baptized. Do what's right. Follow after God. Turn to God. Stay on the right path. If you go to your parents, if they trust in God, they will tell you the same thing. So that's the opportunity we have here today. I'm sure there's a baptistry back here. There's water somewhere we can find. And like the Ethiopian eunuch, Ted Philip, they were just on the side of the road and there was a creek or something nearby. He said, look, here's water. What's hindering me from being baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. There's water. We can find water if you believe with all your heart. Come while we stand and sing.